Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the spring of 2011, the state of Alabama was hit by a terrible tornado, I'm sure many of you remember, that ripped through entire neighborhoods and communities, leaving a path of destruction across the entire state. Thousands of people were affected. Millions of dollars of property was damaged and destroyed, and many people lost their lives. The damage was so severe and so widespread that the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, where my daughter Trinity goes to school, simply canceled finals and sent everyone home early for the summer. Now, at first hearing, I'm sure the students must have thought, all right, we're going to go home early. That sounds great, right? Now I have to take finals. All right. But what if you were one of the folks counting on the finals to raise your grade? What if you were a senior, fourth year, you're getting done, and you were looking forward to graduation, and finally, after 4 years of hard work, being able to get robed and walk with your fellow seniors so that your parents could see you receive your diploma? It's amazing, isn't it, how the exact same news can be tragic and awful news to some, and yet great and glorious news to others. Depending on your situation and your vantage point, one and the same news can be received in very different ways. And such is the case with our Old Testament reading this morning, also with our gospel reading this morning concerning the last day and the return of Christ Jesus. Depending on your life and your faith and your preparation, the final day of this world's existence could be a day greatly to be feared or a day greatly to be anticipated. Question is, which one is it for you? It is also almost hard for me to believe how many folks that should be frightened of that day simply aren't. Now, I suppose it's because most of them don't really believe that that day is ever going to take place, and even if it does, that it's not any real danger to them. And if they did believe in the existence of that day and the danger of that day, then maybe even then they wouldn't be frightened of it because they'd probably do something to prepare for that day. Because only a fool would accept the truth of that day and the danger of that day and not do something to prepare for that day. The prophet Malachi, today in our Old Testament reading, warns of that day, stating, he said, that it will burn like a furnace, and that all the arrogant and the evildoers will be set on fire. Jesus speaks of that day coming unexpectedly, and that will be a day of great weeping, as many will be cast into the fire of hell. And not only is Scripture clear about the reality and the torment of that day, but the Scriptures also warn us about the trouble that will take place in this world leading up to that day. It talks about it being a time of great distress, that there will be deceptive teachers and false Christs who will appear and try to lead people astray. There will be famines and earthquakes and wars and revolutions going on throughout the world. Friends and family will betray each other, even to the point of death. The anxieties and the troubles and the anguish of life in those last days will cut across every culture, across every generation, every economic and educational and social strata. Every segment of this world's population will be touched by the horror of those days. Which is all the more reason why that final day should come as a relief and a godsend to us. Because as the prophet Malachi also wrote these words of our Lord, he said, "But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves." You see, Jesus said that for all those who believe in him, those who stand firm and who are faithful to the end, that he will give to them the crown of everlasting life. And thus, that day of Christ's return, his day of coming in judgment for us, should be a day of great joy and great anticipation. Jesus also said that as we see that day approaching, that we should stand up and lift up our heads because our redemption is drawing near. The challenge for us, the ones who are supposed to look at that day as a good thing and not a bad thing, is to not let ourselves, as Jesus says, get weighed down by the anxieties of life. Because if we let those anxieties get to us, there's a chance that we might then take our eyes off of Jesus. We have to be careful not to let the dangers and all of the difficulties and the disasters and the destruction, all these things in the world around us, destroy our faith. Destroy our faith in the hope and the love and the salvation that God has for us. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that as all these things are caving in upon us is if we keep our eyes focused on the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Because it is there at that old rugged cross and there at that empty tomb that we see the love and the power of God to us and for us revealed. In spite of the cost, Jesus died for us and he rose for us to give us that gift of forgiveness and everlasting life. And no matter what false Christs appear that come and teach false doctrine and try to lead us astray, no matter what pestilence or famine or wars ravage the earth, no matter what persecutions or betrayals or anxieties fill our lives or tragedies like the folks in the Philippines are going through right now, or folks in our own community who have been ravaged by the floods. Nothing can change the fact that Jesus died and rose for us. And thus, there's nothing in heaven or in hell or anywhere in between that can destroy or endanger the eternal life that we have promised to us in Christ Jesus. Remember the words of Romans, Paul writing in Romans chapter 8. He said, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither the angels nor the demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, we have been bought and we have been paid for by the blood of Jesus. And that's why that day when Jesus comes back to this world in judgment, it poses no threat to us. In fact, to the contrary, it will be for us the day of our greatest joy. I pray that God would help us to keep our eyes fixed on Him, fixed on the death and the resurrection of Jesus, as we await that day when Jesus comes back to raise us and to take us home to be with Him. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, amen.